Here's what we're going to do here when the girls give the thumbs up is we're going to let the Wanapum folks go first, and then you guys can just elbow your way around everybody else, but, you know, get their table. But how are we doing, girls? A little bit more? Okay.
Okay. Now, do we have things ready? No, they're not up there. We can't see any of them. Left them back over there. Okay, what we're going to do right now is we're going to sort of go through what has gone, what has transpired over the last decade plus three plus three. But actually what we're going to do is we're going to start just a little bit before that. So if we have the next slide. How did we get started? We actually didn't just, you know, Steve didn't just get his revelation, but there was a gathering of people and a move in the late 1990s. He said that we were in a prayer meeting over at the Richland Assembly, which is now Life Church. Every Saturday morning we would gather and be praying. During that time, we had people who heard about the Toronto Blessing, and there was a move of God at the Toronto Airport Fellowship, Christian Fellowship in Toronto, and they would hold conferences on a regular basis. People from the Tri-Cities would go up there. It was the first time that I'd ever been to Toronto. Having been born in Buffalo, I managed to get across the into Canada a couple of times when I was young, but I didn't remember that. But the blessing, the meetings at Toronto, the presence of the Lord were significant, and the manifestations were different from even what I had experienced as having grown up after college in charismatic churches. In late 1999, Steve and did Pam go also to the boot camp? The two of them went to the Foursquare Pastors Boot Camp. Now, we have a connection so that you're familiar with this. The local Foursquare Church, John Brandstetter is the pastor there. And they provided a way for Steve and Pam to go there. And I think there was a recognition that there was something, that God's hand was on Steve and Pam. And so John was trying to help facilitate that. So there's a connection that we have had with the Foursquare Church since the late 90s. Now, at that point, we didn't even have a sense that we would be, or most of us didn't have a sense that we'd be planting a church. But there was the sermon. This was Steve's last sermon at Bethel Church. Once he was given the opportunity during the Christmas season and shortly thereafter, they would open the pulpit to allow the ministry staff to preach so that the senior pastor could have a time to relax. Are you guys ready? Okay. All right. So we're going to leave. No, I'm just finish this portion of it. Steve preached the sermon. Actually, it was a very good sermon, and it was, for some reason, it hit some people differently than it hit others. Some accepted it, and some, well, there were conversations that week. So, we have two tables. And we'll continue the story after you guys go through the lines. So, figuring out we've got two groups. If you would take your family and begin to go through the line, would appreciate that. As they say, rank has its privileges. Okay. Now, I'm going to start, the last shall be first. So this is the last table. You're towards the west. The sun, so why don't you guys begin to head over. Steve, you could go ahead. You guys, we've got to feel free. If you guys want to go ahead and the lines are getting short. Don't be shy.
Yeah, I know. I'm tiny.
There you go.
Fears really how precious.
Chris. I'd rather talk to you over the whole speaker system. It works out better that way.
Forgiven, condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. Yeah. unforgiven because you are forsaken. I'm accepted. Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love. My joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you in all I do, to honor you.
Hey. Before the world revolved around the sun, God on high stepped down in time and wrote the story of his love for everyone.
A little of both. Okay, so once we made the decision that we would begin, that we would plant a church, for about a month we were a little band of nomads that would visit other churches and participate in their services, until we were able to get started. As Steve was saying, down in the basement of his recently built house, wasn't newly built, but it was just recently built house, at which point, it was indeed on Palm Sunday as opposed to Easter, no matter what the next slide says. We started on the 16th of April back in the year 2000. In preparation for starting the church, one of the decisions that Jane and I made was that we needed to make sure that we had cleaned up any emotional baggage, any spiritual negative stuff in our lives. And so we arranged to have a week up at Elijah House for counseling. So this was during the week, and we knew that things were going to be a little on the tight side in the Watson household if we continued to grow. And while we were up at Elijah House up in Spokane, Post Falls area, one night I had, I'm not sure whether it was a dream or specifically what, but felt that God was letting me know that we would get there would be an avenue opened up for us to move into a new facility so that we wouldn't have to tax the Watson household. And it just so happened that my brother's girlfriend at the time was and still is the executive director at the ARC. And they had a facility over on Williams, right next to CUP. And they heard about us getting started on the church and talking with Judy, who's now my brother's wife. She offered to allow us as a church to go and have services at the ARC. So for a couple of months, we took our church, our weekly potlucks, because the potluck that you are experiencing right now is, well, it's very reminiscent of what we did on a weekly basis for about the first year plus. And every week we would have a potluck, no matter where we were. The hallmarks. Yes, the hallmarks. The reason that we're having fried chicken is that fried chicken was on the menu frequently. The pastor brought, made the yolks run on a regular basis. So, you get a little bit of the feel for what we did during that time. Anyway, so for a couple of months, we were at the ARC, and after a couple of months at the ARC, we needed more space, and people made contacts with the Richland School District, and there was space available at Jason Lee. Now I believe this is the old Jason Lee. I think they've done a remodel on that since that time. But anyway, so we would meet in the cafeteria, and I'm not sure exactly, they had some rooms available to us for the children's work and things like that at that time. So that got us almost through a full year. But the principal at Jason Lee, well, actually she wasn't all that fond of having us. There was some, I think there was some spiritual warfare, as we recognize that, but she just wasn't fond of us being there, and so other arrangements needed to be made. And at that point, I'm going to turn this over to the pastor again and let him talk about the transition.
So George missed the joke that goes with getting to go to the ARC, the Association for Retarded Citizens building. There were people in the community that thought it was really appropriate that we were there. I don't know. But anyway, so from the ARC to Jason Lee, we had kind of a miracle happen. And it's not kind of, it was. And but there was some spiritual warfare around it, and I'll share that story with you. We knew we needed to get out of Jason Lee because we weren't getting a lot of favor there. And this building was occupied by Bethel Church, which was the church I had left to plant our church from. And we had helped them build their new building out on Keene Road. And I knew that this building was empty, except that the Bethel was using all the office space for their pastoral staff and staff because they didn't have office space at their new building. And there was a church that was trying to get this building, but I knew that it was my spiritual inheritance or our church's spiritual inheritance. And so one night I was asleep, and the Lord woke me up, and he told me to go down to this building, and he told me to drive my car in and out of the parking lot out on the Jadwin 7 times, just like the story of the walls of Jericho. And he said, "Now at the end, I'm going to give you something to shout." And so I did. I don't know. It's midnight or 1 a.m. I'm driving through this parking lot out on the Jadwin 7 times, and I'm praying the whole time. And then when I got done, the Lord gave me something to shout, and because there was a spirit that was trying to keep us from getting this building, and so I bound it in Jesus' name and declared that this building was ours. Then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "I want you to go home a different way than you came." That's also in the scripture. And so he took me to Bethel's new building, and he told me to bless their new building and to bless their youth building. And then he said, "I want you to go to your mailbox before you go home." Well, it's like 1 or 2 in the morning at this point, and I'd already got the mail that day. You know, so I thought it was kind of weird, but the whole thing was weird. So I went to my mailbox, and there was one envelope in there, and it was from a couple at Bethel Church. And so when I opened it up, there was a $500 check from this couple at the church, and the letter said, "Steve, when you guys get your building, this will help you get into it." Now, you know, so at that point, I knew we were going to have the building. You know, God was going to work it all out. And so wasn't long after that my secretary that I used to have used to live down here in the low-income housing over in this area. And so I was bringing a bunch of sermon notes and stuff to her to put in our newsletter. And I needed to use the restroom, so I just stopped by this building. It was on a Monday. And when I came in to use the restroom, the Lord said, "Go talk to Dave." And I'm like, "About what?" You know, so I went up to his office, knocked on his door. Dave's the senior pastor at Bethel. And he said, he was really surprised to see me. He said, "Well, I want you to come in." I said, "The Lord just told me to come talk to you." And he says, "I need to tell you how you can get this building." And so he told me how to write a proposal to the elders of Bethel Church to get this building. So here's what we did. This is just a total God thing. What we did is we ended up for 6 months, we paid them $500 a month for this building. They paid us $1,000 a month back to use the office space. So we were making money renting the building. The second 6 months, we paid $1,000 a month. The third 6 months was $1,500, all the way up to $3,000. And at that point, we were, I don't know how many years into being here, we just went and got a bank loan and paid Bethel off. You know, so that's how we got the building. God, I mean, we just total amazing favor. For a year, they paid us rent to be here, basically. And we had the building. And then Bethel blessed us, and we blessed them back. And anyway, it's been a really good thing for everybody. One of the first things we did when we got into this building is we hosted a prophetic conference. We brought a bunch of prophets in from all over the United States. Churches in the region have not been doing that much, if at all, for some time. And so we kind of helped start to bring that out. We were cooperating with the Vineyard Church over in Kennewick at the time doing this. So we were doing these conferences together. And that is what led us to make some really key connections, which we'll talk about here in a minute after Pam comes and shares what's happened with missions since we've been here.
Sorry, I was talking. Okay, I'm actually just going to do outreach in a big general sense. So we've been able to do outreach outside of the United States and then in our own little community. Before the church started, we started in April that year in March, St. Patrick's Day. We actually met with a man from Ireland, and a mutual friend set us up together, and he's a prophetic voice over in Ireland, and he told Steve and I, you have to come to Ireland, because Steve had shared with him that Ireland has always been on our heart. And at the time, Steve didn't have a job, and we hadn't started the church, so we had no income, and we thought that's impossible, because we don't have any money. And he came back in June, and he said, we're all excited that you're coming to Ireland. And we're like, we didn't know we were, because we have no money. So we thought we better pray about this, and we prayed about it. And miraculously, the state of Oregon sent us $3,000. We had moved from Oregon 8 years before that, so somehow that all worked out, and we had the money to go to Ireland. When we were in Ireland, this man introduced us to John Gray, because John Gray had a heart for Galway, and so did Steve. That's the vision God had given him for Galway. And while we were there, we formed a relationship with the Grays. We later introduced their daughter to Brian Santos, and the rest is history. So now Pauline is here, married to Brian, with a beautiful family. And our heart is still very much in Ireland, but when we were over there, God clearly spoke to us that we're not to go back until he opens up those doors. So in the meantime, God's had us go to India to train pastors, do crusades, start a little orphanage. He's had us go to Philippines, train pastors, do crusades, plant churches. He's had, let me think, there's one other. Oh, the youth went down to L.A. to do some inner city work. Then also, there have been people outside of our, I mean, in our church, but not a church group, but going to several different countries. So we've really had a heart for missions. When we redid our sanctuary, which we did, and I don't remember what year, but we had to replace all the flooring because it was a wood floor and it was breaking. So we replaced the whole floor, and we got to write scriptures and prayers, and back near that door we have a big map that we put on the floor, and we marked the spots that God just put really close to our heart, which were India and Ireland at the time and others. So in our DNA is very much a heart to reach out. Locally, we've been able to do a block party for our neighborhood. And before that started, Kathy and I used to go over and prayer walk at the lower income apartments. And we took groups over there, and we would do cleaning over there. And then that kind of led into doing the block party for the neighborhood. And so we've done that 3 years and plan to continue. And we also have been able to start the Celebrate Recovery in our church. And feeding, and now we have programs for the children, youth, and adults on Friday night. So I think that's my part. And next, Dave.
Thank you. Steve asked me to talk about intercession. And intercession is where I first met Steve. We used to meet over at Louise Foskett's the Tri-City prayer thing was going on since 1944. Steve came with a couple people. We used to have meetings, and I believe when Steve, I ran into Steve, and he came to our church a few conferences. We came over here, Sherry and I, and started the Vineyard Church with five other couples. And Steve, we used to go to this prayer meeting. And I believe that's where the Holy Spirit began cranking on Steve, and it was a fun time. But anyway, this church is rooted in intercession. And it's always prayed, and we used to have a powerful prayer group over at Roger and Rebecca's house, and that's where we all used to get together on Wednesday nights, and there's a lot of people there showed up, and God moved mightily. In 2004... I was introduced to a book called Red Moon Rising. And Red Moon Rising was the worldwide intercessory prayer movement that started in England and it went all over the world. I read that book and we in our prayer group read it, Roger and Rebecca's read it, and it's totally changed our idea to go from weekly prayer to 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer. 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer. And we weren't a large church, but we had enough people signed up for that to happen. And we started back in this prayer room here, and then we moved across over here to the old part of the church. There is a prayer room there for many of you that don't know. It has an access code, and you can go in there. At one time, it was totally open. We never shut the door. We never had any problems. And we never had anybody sleeping in there. We never had anybody camping out in there like it happened in the last 2-3 years. So anyway, but it was an amazing time. That thing was full for quite a while. And all the slots were filled. And I'm talking 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. There was people in there praying. It was an hour slot. And we had a powerful thing going, and that's when this church was going through some interesting times. But God is faithful, and this church has always prayed because, like John Sanford says in his book, all Christians are to do intercessory prayer. All. Why? Because Jesus is what? The chief intercessor. And the Holy Spirit's an intercessor. So we cranked it up, and we still been praying on Wednesday nights here, and there's a lot of prayer going on in this church. And that is literally, I believe, what God has chosen for this church. And we've seen God move in many ways. And so if you're interested in the prayer deal, it's going on. Jump in it. Get excited about it. Because guess what? That's what Jesus is doing. Who's next, Steve? You?
So come pray with Dave. So here's, I think, the last part. You guys will be relieved. This was our connection to John Paul Jackson and Streams Ministries. This is where we learned. John Paul was famous. He passed away. He's with the Lord now. He passed away a little over a year ago, but... this is where we learned to about visions, dreams, and those kinds of things. Happened about 10 years ago, and it's that connection allowed us to connect to a variety of prophetic ministries and other ministries here in the United States, and it allowed for us to get trained to teach the courses on how to hear God's voice, how to interpret dreams, how to interpret visions, and so we're very grateful to John Paul. And John Paul adopted us and was one of the overseers of our church. And for that, we're going to be eternally grateful. So that ends our history. Thank you for sitting through all that. I know it was a lot. And I thought I saw cake go by. So there is cake available. So if you would like cake, there's cake up at this front table. And if you don't want cake, you don't have to eat it. Well, you can have cake now. So now talk among yourselves and connect. We know we've dominated all of your time